If you have your Bibles today, let's look along to Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. We'll read through verse 31. This, of course, is the account of the Apostle Paul preaching at Mars Hill, beginning at verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, even as I found an altar that had this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you ignorantly worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who has made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not afar from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's desiring. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." One day, God was looking down at the earth, and he saw all the bad behavior that was going on. So he decided to send an angel down to the earth and check it all out. Well, he did just that. When that angel returned back to heaven, he reported to God, "Yes, it's bad on the earth. About 95% are misbehaving and about 5% are not." Well, God thought for a moment and he said to the angels, he said, "Before I do anything about this, perhaps it's wise that I should send down a second angel and get a second opinion." So God called another angel and sent him down to the earth for a time. The second angel returned to heaven, and when he went to God, he said, "It is true, Father. The earth is in decline. 95% are misbehaving and 5% are being good." God was not pleased, and so he decided he would send an email to the 5% that were good because he wanted to encourage them and to help them on their way. He wanted to give them a little bit of something to help them and to keep them going in the manner they were going. Upon hearing the news that God had sent emails to the good 5% of the people on the earth, one deacon asked a Sunday school teacher, "Do you know what that email said?" "No, I don't," replied the Sunday school teacher, and the deacon quipped, "Oh, I see. You didn't get one either." What is a Christian worldview? What is it about a worldview that is so important that we need to study it today? Well, let me try to answer that question. According to the experts, a person's worldview, whether it's Christian or not, is the big picture of the world and all that that person sees it to be. It's the sum of all of his beliefs about the world. It's his way of understanding reality. A person's worldview is the explanation and the basis for making every single decision we make every single day. It's the basis upon which we live our lives. If your worldview tends to fluctuate with the tide, if your worldview does bounce around all over the place, your life will follow suit. If your worldview is stable and based on things that are not true, you'll become a very strong heretic before it is over with. But if your worldview is based on the absolute truth of God and the absolute truth of His Word, then you are a stable Christian who makes a real difference for Christ in the culture in which you live. Therefore, having a stable and a biblically accurate Christian worldview that's based solely on God's absolute word is vitally important if we are to live a victorious Christian life in a world that is filled, literally flooded, with sin. Well, are you aware that everybody in the world has a worldview of some kind? That's true. From the pygmy tribes in the Congo to the cufflinked staffer at the White House, everybody has a philosophy of how they view the world and how they think the world works. Everybody has a lens they look through to see the world. That lens determines how we define reality and how we define fantasy, as well as how well we relate to others. Everybody has that lens in which they interpret where life came from, why bad things happen, especially to good people, and what their own purpose of existence is really all about. Well, that, in a nutshell, is what your worldview is all about. Everybody has one. As Christians, you and I have chosen to espouse the truth of a biblical worldview, which says that the Bible is true, that God created the heavens and the earth, and that God sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, and everything else the Bible has to say. We believe the Bible is inspired of God, inerrant, and infallible. We look at the world through the lens of God's Word. Sadly, very few Christians during these modern evil days in which we live can actually put their hands on what they believe or even clearly define their own worldview. Many just kind of make it up as they go along based on what's happening and what they see. It's a proven fact that the reason for this behavior is because most Christians don't fully understand what the Bible teaches. If most Christians understood that heaven and hell are real, it would make a real difference in the actions that we do when we're here living on this earth. Well, how do you form or how do you build a Christian worldview? I mean, after all, we were raised in sin. We were born in sin. We have sin all around us. We have sinners that bombard us every day. We have temptation on the outside that comes to us in so many different fashions. So how do you build and how do you maintain a Christian worldview? That's what we're going to look at today. First of all, we need to understand the basic building blocks that all of us use to build our worldview, whether it's Christian or not. We all use these, and I'm going to throw some things in there that will help you as we go through these basic building blocks to understand a Christian worldview. Here we go. The first thing that we have that will influence us to build our worldview is culture. It's the first thing we see when we're born. We see the culture around us. We see our mamas and our fathers and whoever is there to take care of us. We see the world with our own eyes. And as we begin to grow up, that's the first thing we see. We see the world. Now, in the case of a dedicated Christian, many times a child is taken to church very quickly and exposed to the gospel, even before they're old enough to comprehend it or even understand it. But they're exposed to that culture and that environment. That's a good thing. Because when you're exposed to a certain kind of culture, that culture tends to set you in motion at an early age. If you don't believe it, just take a look around. So many children were not taken to church, were raised by people who didn't believe in God. And when they grew up very confused because as they grew up, they heard about God. They heard about a better plan that God has for their lives. But they also had the influence of their own culture that started when they were very young. You see, cultural influence will help you to build a value system, good or bad. It'll help you to develop your own customs, good or bad. It'll help you by studying the arts, good or bad. And it'll even, with its heritage, with all the traditions we live in, it'll either help us or it'll hurt us. And it'll help us or hurt us with traits and ideals we pick up from culture. The second thing we need to understand that's a building block for all of us to build our own culture is education. What has been and what is being taught as truth all through these years will directly affect the culture's worldview. If the truth is being taught from the beginning all the way through educational processes, through college, university, and even continuing education through adulthood. If the truth is being taught, then truth is what comes out. But if a lie is being taught, the truth is in conflict because the truth remains in the world, even when lies try to take over. It's the same as it was on Mars Hill. Lies had taken over a culture, but the truth was still there because the Apostle Paul proclaimed it to them, and it created conflict. It always creates conflict. The only conflict you'll ever find that is really a conflict and not just a misunderstanding is when truth confronts lies, or when lies confront or try to distort truth. It's education. Education is vitally important to knowing and understanding the truth, and the Bible tells us clearly it is the truth that will set us free. But if the truth is not taught as truth, if it is taught as a lie or a fairy tale, or it is downgraded to some thing that is very low on the scale of importance in our lives, then that truth gets snuffed away, put into a corner, and a pagan society results. But that pagan society will always be filled with conflict because the truth will never leave. We can cause lies to leave and go away, or at least to be put down and out of sight. But the truth is not the same. The truth can never be hidden from anyone that wants to know it. The third thing that you use to build a worldview are your religious beliefs. Now, when I say religion, I'm not talking about all about Christianity. I'm talking about all religions. How you accept all the religions of the world is part of the way that you will build your own Christian worldview. You say, what does that have to do with a Christian worldview? Well, everybody uses it for a worldview, obviously. But how you view other people who worship false gods will help you to understand your own worldview. For if you do not understand a lie, then how do you know the truth? How do you know what is a lie if you don't know the truth? How can there be a counterfeit if there's not a real thing? And how can you know the difference between a counterfeit and the real thing if you don't study the real thing? But the religious beliefs of the world will help define all worldviews, including Christian worldviews. So if Christianity were to be relegated to fairy tales, as we talked about a minute ago, or unimportant in our culture, then what happens? Then pagan beliefs begin to rise to the top, as was the case on Mars Hill, as the Apostle Paul confronted the lies of pagan society. A strong worldview is majority based on what you believe about God. Write that down. That's capital G or little g. The true, authentic, one God, or all the gods, little g, of the world. How you believe about God, speaking of all of those, will largely determine your worldview. A fourth thing that's used to build your worldview are emotions. How you feel about a matter can be so strong that it outweighs logic or truth. You know that's right. You felt it. You see it happening every day right now in this fear-mongered world that we live in right now, when the government scares us to death and the media scares us to death and propaganda flies around everywhere. It causes emotions to rise. It causes division. Over the last president we had in the United States of America and the hatred for him that rose to epidemic levels in this country divided Christians from all other people in the world and separated Christians from the world. That never should have happened. We, as Christians, should never have allowed that hatred, no matter what you thought of the president, whether you loved him or despised him, that should not have separated men from each other. Emotions determine worldview, and let me say this, emotions can change your worldview for the better or for the worse, depending on that emotion. How you feel about a matter can be so strong that it outweighs any other logic or truth. Write that down. Emotions can be good and are good, but when they're released in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong motivations, they're like fire out of control. They'll burn your house down. But fire inside the furnace is a good thing. It heats the house in the wintertime. A fire in a light bulb is a good thing because it gives out the heat. But if that fire gets out, look out. you're going to burn down the house. A fifth way to build a Christian worldview is the Bible itself. Is the Bible inerrant? How do you deal with the Bible? Do you do like libraries do nowadays and put it in the fiction section? The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Do you believe that? Or do you choose not to believe it? The Bible says God created the earth in 6 literal days. By the way, that's 24 hours. There's no place in the Bible that said God changed a day from millions of years to 24 hours at any given point after creation. It's 24 days when God created the heavens and the earth and separated the day from the night was 24 hours. Do you believe that? Or do you want to mix evolution in with it and say that billions of years have passed by? Because after all, the Bible says, as with God, a day is as 1,000 years. That, my friends, is nothing more than a saying, like saying, it's been an awfully long day. Well, your day was exactly 24 hours. It didn't get longer than 24 hours because you thought it was 24 hours. That's an expression, like the four corners of the earth does not indicate that the earth is flat. The four corners of the earth indicate north, south, east, and west. The earth is a globe, and it says so in the Psalms, the sphere of the earth. A sphere is a ball, just exactly what the earth is. Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe it to be true? Is it historically true? Is every single word of the Bible true and infallible? Or is the God, as some are saying today, even some preachers are saying today, the Bible is not accurate. The Bible is filled with errors, they say. The Bible becomes the Word of God as it's applied, some say. The Bible has some truth and some error, some say. The Bible is a bronze-aged fairy tale, some say. I ask you the question, what do you believe about the Bible? Is the Bible you hold in your hands the authentic Word of God or not? Was the original autograph, the original papyrus paper that Moses wrote on and John wrote on the Isle of Patmos, that original document, was it letter perfect from God? Did God breathe those words? Or is it inaccurate? You have to answer that question. And if you answer it with anything other than a resounding yes, the Bible is inerrant in every word, then I wonder, how can you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because I ask you, if part of the Bible is inaccurate, how do you know who Jesus is? I'm telling you today, the Bible declares itself to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that men of God wrote the words as they were instructed of God to do so. I'm amazed how God used the personalities and used the circumstances of the men, the 66 men, who largely never met one another from the Old Testament to the New Testament, many of whom were contemporaries, many of whom lived hundreds of years apart. Yet God chose to use their own culture, their own laws, their own things that were happening in their lives to explain His Word to us. How amazing is God! And yet there's no error. There's no fallible part of the Word of God. It's all infallible. Well, how you and I look at the world is largely shaped by that culture around us, as we said. Our culture is largely shaped by the worldview that is accepted by the majority of those living in that culture. That's why you have some countries that are Muslim, some countries that are Jewish, some countries that are Christian, or were Christian, as the case may be. In some cases, you find countries that were Christian and now are pagan. You find some Christian countries that are no longer Christian, but are undecided and more or less agnostic or questioning whether God is real or not. That worldview was determined by the people of that country. Once upon a time, the United States of America was called a Christian nation. That was not because the government dictated it so. That was not because Congress passed a law and the president signed it that said the United States of America is a Christian nation. That was not because the Supreme Court overruled something that said otherwise to make this country a Christian nation. America was a Christian nation and remains a Christian nation because its people demand it to be so. Whether it remains a Christian nation or not is slipping today because Christians no longer demand that America is a Christian nation. It's slipping because our freedoms are slipping, and our freedoms are slipping because our biblical worldview has been compromised. We could say the same about a society that's dominated by a media that is anti-God. You know, a media is largely controlled by its people. And the people, as we said before, are controlled by our own worldview. So worldview matters. And worldview in the United States of America has brought us to the point we are today. The point to which our country is in danger of even collapsing. Well, let's talk about a godly or a biblical worldview. There are six components to a basic biblical worldview. You might want to write these down. Number one, God is the creator of the world and rules the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1 tells us clearly. God is the creator of the world and he rules the universe, the first of six components to a biblical worldview. Number two, the Bible is God's word for mankind and is completely accurate, including matters of life and its origin. Did you get that? The Bible is God's word for mankind and is completely accurate, including matters of life and its origin. In other words, God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness." The third component to a biblical worldview, because of God and His Word, absolute morals and absolute moral truth exists. Number three, because of God and His Word, absolute morals and absolute truth exists. Atheists often say, there is absolutely no absolute truth. Go ahead and laugh at that statement. It's ridiculous. That's the only absolute in the world, that there's no absolute truth. Really? Yes, there is absolute truth because there's an absolute God who brings us absolute morals and absolute truth. And then on the moral side, you cannot say it's okay to murder someone here, but it's not okay to do it there or under those circumstances. If it's okay to murder someone under these circumstances, then it's okay to murder somebody on those circumstances. But the Bible says, thou shalt not commit murder. So it's absolutely true. Murder is forbidden of God. Now, capital punishment, I need to throw this note in, is not murder. Capital punishment is indeed ordained of God, that those the most evil in society are to be put to death, rather than for them to consider and continue to promote their evil lifestyle and do more damage than they've ever done before in the world. The fourth component of a biblical worldview, Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Son of God. He lived a sinless life and he died for our sins, was buried and rose again from the grave 3 days later. There is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. The fourth component, one more time. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father. He lived a sinless life. He died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again from the grave 3 days later. Number five, the fifth component for a biblical worldview, Satan is real. He's not symbolic. He's not a little red stick figure. Satan is real. He seeks to defeat God's plan for you and I. Satan is real. He's not symbolic. He seeks to defeat God's plan for you and I. and the last component of a biblical worldview. Salvation is obtained solely by individual faith in Christ's work on the cross. It cannot be earned or received any other way. By accepting Christ and His work on the cross, that's the only way to be saved. Because of your individual faith, God gave you saving faith. That means the faith to ask Him to forgive you. And by His work on the cross, the only way you can be saved. Well, what are some of the dangers if you have a biblical worldview? What do you face the dangers in life if you possess a biblical worldview? Well, the first one is not viewing every part of your life through the Bible. Many Christians try to cherry-pick the Bible. We want to accept this and reject that. But ladies and gentlemen, you can't do it. Cherry-picking the Bible is not allowed if you're going to live a Christian worldview. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the Bible says. A cherry-picked Christian is incomplete at best, totally not a Christian at worst. Number two, viewing opposing worldviews as enemies rather than opportunities is a bad thing. Let me do that again. Viewing opposing worldviews as enemies rather than opportunities is a bad thing. Yes, this is a very bad thing. By judging others rather than seeing them through the eyes of God, we hurt our witness to these people. Personally, this is one of the hardest things for me to do. But ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did on Mars Hill. He loved those people, but he told them the truth. He stood among the pagans, armed with nothing but the Scriptures burning in his heart. He spoke to them of repentance and judgment and what God would do with them if they refused Him. Mars Hill was a mission field, not a battlefield. Our apathetic, sensual, arrogant, and sometimes perverted culture is not our enemy. It's our mission field. Satan is the enemy. People are an opportunity for evangelism. We must get off the defensive and get on the offensive for Christ. The Bible says that these around us who have an opposing worldview have their minds blinded by Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, "In whom the God of this world," that's a little g by the way, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Wow, what a powerful scripture and a powerful thought as we consider people of other ungodly worldviews. Well, the third of the three specific dangers facing the worldview is not believing your worldview is absolute. If you believe in the Bible, but you believe your views about the Bible are not absolute, you're going to be like a ship in the sea, tossed to and fro by every wave of adversity. Not believing your worldview is absolute. Not just right, but absolutely right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain something to you. I'm not saying that you're not open to education or to realize that you are wrong about something about your worldview. To realize that God is showing you a new truth in the Scripture is growth, not changing your worldview. What I'm talking about is becoming a pantheistic person like Paul preached to on Mars Hill, who believes in many gods but not one God. I'm talking about those who would be the elitist of the day, the poets, the historians, the educators, the culture shapers who ignore God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who become idol worshipers. Do you worship an idol? Let me ask you, do you really? How's your money? It was Larry Burkett who always so wisely used to say, you can very much gauge the depth of your walk with Christ by examining how you spend your money. Ouch. Do you spend it on gambling? Do you spend it on things you shouldn't be spending it on? Do you spend it on luxury? Do you spend it on my wants? How much do you spend on God and His kingdom? I asked that question in church one day. Dear sweet lady looked up and she said, I give my tithe, I've paid my tithe, my 10%, ever since I've been a Christian, and that's been 68 years now. Wow. This elderly lady was so sweet and so wonderful. I almost hated to ask her this question, but I did. I said, how much above your tithe have you given through these years? She said, well, that's all I'm obligated to give, is 10%. And I said, I'm sorry to mention this to you right now at your age, but I have to tell you, the tithe is not a New Testament principle. It's an Old Testament principle. In the New Testament, God said he wants it all. He wants everything. He wants you to give it all to him and let him choose what he gives back to you. That is a New Testament principle. You can't pay your way off and get into heaven. She sat with tears in her eyes. She said, I've been wrong all these years. She said, I'm changing, and it's never too late to change. She lived another year after that, and that lady became the most generous woman in the community. She gave away everything she owned to everybody around her, people in need, to the church, to the work of Christ, to missions, to the radio ministry, to everything that was going on in her area. She began to give. She paid her expenses, and she gave the rest to God. When she died quietly in her home, and at her funeral, she had requested that on her tombstone be placed, for 98 years I was selfish and tried to pay off God. I'm glad my preacher told me about what it meant to be a New Testament Christian, so I gave it all. I pray that talks to you like it talks to me. Paul preached to mockers. Paul preached to unbelievers. Paul preached to evolutionists in their own way. Acts chapter 17, 24, look it up. Paul preached to racist people who hated others because of their skin color. Though we live in a liberal society, it's fast becoming overtaken by other religions, by racism, as it's called, and by false racism, and by all of the evil that is in our world, by propaganda that's flooding the airwaves, by all of those things. If you do not immerse yourself as a fish in the fishbowl in the world of biblical truth, you will drown. But if you immerse yourself as that fish in the world's fishbowl, you will drown in sin. It will defeat you. No doubt. No passing go. No collecting $200, as the old Monopoly game says. You don't get to heaven by living like the devil. You can't do it. There was a Christian movie released a few years ago called Time Changer. It was written and produced one of our dear friends, the Cristiano brothers, Dave and Rich, many years ago. I suppose you could call this a Christian science fiction movie. It has a character who wrote a book about how American culture has declined since the late 19th century. He called it The Changing Times. This professor entered a time machine in which another professor had built and traveled forward in time from the late 19th century to the early 21st century. And then he returned and edited his book. He called it then Time Changer. Here is the synopsis of how he saw the changes that took place in America from the late 19th century to the early 21st century. And most importantly, one important point about the Christian worldview that has changed. Here's what he said. Without the authority of Christ, mankind is merely left to compare ideas, and morality becomes a matter of opinion. One person says it's wrong to steal. The next person says it's not. There's no standard set. So if we remove the authority of Christ from the teachings of Christ, then we have no basis upon which to command. Satan is not against good morals. He is opposed to Jesus Christ. A man can have good morals in his entire life, yet you and I know he will go to hell when he dies. It is Jesus Christ that everyone needs, and the devil knows this more than all of us. Satan's goal is to remove the name of Christ from his commands. And whenever we do this, people are deceived into thinking that if they live a good life, they will receive God's approval and attain heaven. The ultimate issue of Christianity is the authority of Christ, and the devil is attacking this authority already by convincing us to teach morals alone apart from the name of Christ. Well, do you think he nailed it? I think he nailed it very clearly. The story was told of two salesmen from different countries who were sent to the third world island of Haiti to sell shoes. Salesman number one was rather a pessimist. When he got on shore, he explored the poverty-stricken village a little bit, and he sent a message back to the home office that said he wouldn't be able to sell shoes here. He said, nobody wears shoes. Everybody runs around barefoot, and they all go around like that, and therefore there is no demand for shoes here. Well, the home office sent him back a telegram and said, we'll have a return ticket to you in a few days. Salesman number two arrived in country, a very ambitious young man. He got off the plane, explored the village, and he sent a message back to the home office that read, send me hundreds of pairs of shoes here. Nobody wears shoes. Everybody's a prospect. You see, it's all about your attitude. It's about your attitude. Remember that attitude is more important than altitude when it comes to your success in life. Also, remember that a good attitude will usually result in a higher altitude. It's all about worldview. It's how you view the world. Attitude's part of worldview. Your worldview will determine your destiny in the here and now and throughout eternity. Choose the right, the biblical worldview.
I believe. Help thou my I take the finite risk of trusting like a child. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I walk into unknown, trusting all the while. I long so much to feel the warmth that others seem to know. But should I never feel a thing, I claim him even so. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I walk in unknown, trusting all the while. I walk into the unknown, trusting
to say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.